This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Hi, 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 and welcome to Shift Talking, our first one in over 2 weeks.
I hope you didn't notice.
We are making some modifications in Steady and Shift Talking, and I'm really excited to share those. The once a week deal isn't quite working for me. I want more. So we are going to be ramping up to 3 episodes a week. We will have Sunday solos, Sunday steadies, where it's just me and you talking about a certain topic of the week. That will also be a similar topic on Tuesdays for our Shift RX, which is that quick hit dose of very no bullshit 10 to 12 minute quick info. Followed by Thursdays, which will be our full guest interviews. I'm not going to do that where I break down the interview into 2 or 3 parts and then that trickles out for 2 or 3 weeks. If you're interested in that guest and what they have to say, I want you to be able to get all of it all at once. And if you're not, then I still want you to be able to get some stuff around what it is that you're looking to hear. So this is super exciting. It's really been taking these last couple of weeks to get everything together. And now we get to focus on this week, which is owning your path without permission. Thursday is going to be with Lindsay Paoli, who's this phenomenal therapist and coach. She works with leadership and executives to help them stay more mindful. She has the mind fundamentals that she works within, and our paths crossed so many times over the years, and we finally got connected less than a year ago, I want to say about 6 or 7 months ago, and we've just gotten along so well, and I think she's incredible. I've joined her mastermind, and I love learning from her and talking to her. She and I talked about all sorts of things within the therapy and coaching space, insurance, mental health, grad school, licensure, all of that. Today is going to be all about that, right? Like just owning your path without permission. And it doesn't have to be about career. It can be anything. It can be, of course, about your career and leaving your job. It can be starting a relationship or ending one, having kids or not having kids, moving away or staying where you are, how you dress, how you embrace your body, how you want to express yourself to the world, right? So many of these things are going to be about owning that, standing in it, and not needing permission from other people. Maybe wanting it, but needing it is something that we have to pivot away from. So with the center of my and Lindsay's conversation this week about the whole therapeutic world and mental health and therapy versus coaching, that's what I'm choosing to focus on in sharing this with you today to kind of conceptualize this whole thing. My whole experience was undergrad in psychology, went on to grad school in forensic and counseling psychology, really loved what I was learning and loved how much emphasis my program placed on knowing who we are. We were writing self-reflection papers almost every week. We were recording ourselves in mock interviews and then showing it to everyone and really just like picking ourselves apart in these ways. And it was a really incredible exercise in learning not only who we are, but like how we are, how engage in conversations with how I actually look and present to people that I'm in either session with or a conversation. We see our body language, our facial expressions, we can pick up on tone and intensity and volume and all of these really incredible things. And that was such a beautiful experience that I, of course, recommend for anyone who's open to doing that work. And more so something that I'm able to repeat in my personal life, which is why whenever I'm like doing my curly hair routine and these types of things, I have my camera recording because My kids are coming in and out. My husband is. We now live with my sister and her husband and their three kids. Like, we're full housing this experience. And I think it's important to know how I'm presenting. So then when I go back and I hear these things back and I watch them back, I can see how short I am with my kids or how kind I am and warm. There's so much there to be learned, and that was such a rich experience. Aside from that and everything that I learned, what I did realize during my program is that therapy just isn't for me. Not as a client. I'm all about therapy being for me, but as a practitioner, as a provider, as an agent of change, the traditional therapeutic model just doesn't work for me. And what ended up coming through wasn't this epiphany of like, oh, therapy isn't for me, but this is. It was, shit, I am in so much debt. I've done so much work to get to this point. My whole plan was to get a master's and then go on for my doctorate. And it was really this disenchantment that I had about the whole therapeutic world and the steps that I was told would lead to the path that I wanted to be on. And without that real foundation, without me wanting to root myself in the foundational principles of therapy and how it's run, I couldn't go on for another degree. And so it not only was that disenchantment that I shared, it was also this deep sense of identity crisis. And not regret necessarily, because I loved that experience and I did recognize how much I benefited from it and learned and progressed and evolved in it. It also became this whole, like, what now thing. So much of that fear and feeling lost was within me, of course, and a lot of it came from how I would be perceived by other people, what other people might think of me, right? My husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, he moved across the country so that I could pursue this dream. And then the idea that I wouldn't be following through on that in the way that I thought it would look, just, I didn't know how to sit with that. It just felt like I was disappointing everyone, myself included. And I hadn't ever learned of the coaching space as being somewhere where people with my kind of training belonged. I had always heard of the coaching space as this like life coaching thing of a weekend long certification, and it just wasn't quite to the depths that my education and training was within. And in some ways it felt like a step down in terms of credibility and the way that I want to impact other people's lives and how I want to be, you know, a helper. And because my degree was in forensics, my entire program was so rigid, so boundaried. Coaching was not mentioned a single time that I remember, at least. And the only real option was to go toward licensure and that very traditional route. And so I had reached out to a friend of mine who was a licensed therapist, is a licensed therapist in the Las Vegas area. And she had suggested coaching to me. And I didn't know how to take that ick away from the title. I saw her doing it and other therapists doing it, and it made sense because they were already licensed therapists, but because I wasn't, it felt icky and I didn't quite know how to do that. And again, my degree, forensics, you guys, like, so deeply rigid, boundaried, Department of Correction, right? Like, if somebody asks me what my last name is, I don't give it. I ask them why it's important, and then we go into that, right? Like, it was such a deeply rooted, firm foundation of, like, you don't go outside of these expectations. You do not even dance with the line of ethics. And from what my perception of coaching was just a deeply unethical thing. And it's been taking me a while to discover what kind of path I wanted to go on. And I'm now, 6 years after founding my practice, 5 years after going mostly full time with it, really leaning into the coaching title. And here's why I want to explain. I didn't understand coaching to be anything other than a glorified thing that people do when they go to therapy for a while and decide that, hey, this was easy enough and I can now do this. Or I benefited so much from doing therapy that I could be that person for other people. I could be that agent of change if this therapist was. And that, like, that critical step in between of benefiting from the process is not the same as knowing how to conduct the process. And so I have internalized judgments about that I've had to really sit within, because when I'm this person who is sharing that, like, it's multiple truths and everyone has their own path and own your path without permission, which is what this episode is entirely about, I also had to recognize that I was being judgmental. I was leading with that part. And maybe there was a part that was a bit, not resentful, I guess resentful because it's rooted in envy, but almost feeling like it was a shortcut. It was like a cheat into carrying the weight and the responsibility that comes with being in this role in people's lives. And it felt predatory. And what I still see within the coaching industry that is deeply unregulated, and I haven't seen a single program that actually has a good enough training that could replace the kind of training that you need to have when you're going into the mental health world and working with people on such an intimate level. I didn't quite know how to do that without carrying those judgments. I don't think it was envy that they got to do that without having to do the work. I think it was more so in protection of the field, right? That we can't just minimize this experience, this training, this deep education that's not just about reading in a book or taking an online course. It's this self-reflection. It's really like the depths of knowing how to conduct these sessions and helping our client work through their shit, right? I have nothing against people who have benefited from doing this kind of work and then them wanting to help others. I think that's amazing. Just do it for free. The fact that so many people are foregoing proper training and instead are going I'm ICF certified, but it's not enough. I think that's not only predatory, which is the word that I will use a lot within the coaching industry, it is dangerous and it is negligent. So the whole concept of me going into coaching was me fighting this because I led with assumption, the cognitive distortion that everyone else might view coaching in the way that I do. Where, like, when people say to me even now, like, oh, you're like a life coach, and what they mean and what I even prompt for clarity about afterward in order to know exactly what they mean is that because the work that we do is touching so many different parts of us, that we talk about parenting and career and sex and relationships and friendship and in-law and all of these kinds of stuff, that they are telling me that it's because we touch so many different aspects of our lives that I'm basically like a life coach, a coach for life. And when I hear life coach, I'm like, ugh, like I don't even want to be in that category. And so that's been a tougher realization for me. It's been a tougher kind of thing for me to wrap my head around. And what I was able to do within this conversation with Lindsay and what her guidance really allowed for me to do and kind of gave me the permission to do, which is what I'm wanting to pay forward here, is to remember that no matter the industry, there are really great people doing the work and there are also shitty people doing the work. There are people who are trained really well on an educational level and are shit at actually applying it in the real world, and some are vice versa. So because of my training in therapy, I'm not taking an easier path by going into the coaching industry. I'm taking one that's more aligned. And if anything, if I do see the coaching industry as being this predatory, gross, really, really dangerous field where unintentional harm is being caused, I now have the responsibility to become this person in the coaching industry that can help regulate it and can help guide people in a better direction than just somebody who is a marketer and really good at marketing themselves with no formal training and calls themselves a trauma coach. Like, it's insane. So that's my tangent. But this is all of the work that I was doing in my S, because I knew that I had an ick about the coaching industry, but I didn't quite understand the depths of it. And even now as I share this, I'm still kind of, the wheels are still turning. There's still going to be more and more for me to learn and understand and lead with curiosity about when it comes to how I view the therapy world, the coaching world, the mental health world in general, and my position within it. So after that conversation, I then knew that I could go into the coaching side and that it wasn't viewed as a cheapened, you know, like wish version of a therapist, that instead I had to understand that the really big difference between what therapy is and what coaching is. And from there, that's where I got additional certifications in anger management, in mediation, conflict resolution. And what I did with that was use every other title other than coach. I was still so resistant, quite literally up until like a week or two ago, I was not embracing the title of coach in the way that I would want to when I'm throwing myself into this industry. Like, I need to be able to say, like, yes, this is what I do. I am a mental health coach. This is the work that I do, without getting that ick as soon as I say the word coach. So what are all the terms I used? I used specialist, facilitator, educator, mentor, consultant. What else did I use? I used all of these different titles in order to avoid the coach, but it worked against me. It made it harder for people to find me. It came across as way more clinical than I wanted it to. And at this point, my entire business, my practice has evolved into something completely different than it was when I first founded it as a study space. I share all of this because I am still doing the work too, in so many different facets. You go on my website and you see all of this, and the language aligns with what it is that I'm doing and all of this, but it's constantly growing and building and evolving over time. And that's really what I want to drive home today, is when we talk about owning our own path without permission, it's also going to be about leading into it with so much confidence, with actively choosing this path and allowing for that to be okay, allowing for that to be enough. And the concept of owning our own path without permission is going to break down into two major parts. One is the owning the path, right? Deciding what it is and what it isn't. And the other part is without permission, right? And this is such a bigger, more universal challenge than I think a lot of us realize. When we are emotionally monitoring the people around us, or monitoring them in general to see how they feel about us, what they think about us, it robs us of the clarity that we can only provide for ourselves. There are so many times that I have placed my image, my self-image of success, on what my revenue is, or how much clients want to pay me to be this person in their lives. And when my revenue months are really high, I have a tendency to like cloud nine. I'm like, yes, every talking appearance, every guest interview, get me on the news, get me on all these things. And then when I have my dips, because, you know, running a business is feast or famine, and of course I have my famine, like top ramen months, there are those times that then I was allowing myself to lose my sense of self and to lose my confidence based on what money I was bringing in. Like, it just sounds so silly to me now, but at the time I just couldn't quite see it. Owning my path isn't just about calling myself a coach, right? It's so much about what type of coach I'm going to be and what that means to me and in my clients' lives. It's not just going to be about how I market myself. It's about understanding what I want to be known for. Not just the impact that I can have in people's lives and the work that I'm doing, but what it is that I'm actually here to say. And when we are trying to determine what our path is, there is that kind of fight, this internal fight that we can have based on what I want and what I think other people want of me. And separating those two, especially for those of us who emotionally monitor, who people please, who cower, who fawn, that feels wrong. It feels like we're faking it. It feels arrogant. And what I'm really advocating for here is for us to just be open to saying that it's none of those things, that it's confidence. That I am allowed to be confident in myself, in my decision-making process, without it having to follow the criteria of someone else's. I'm not harming anyone. I'm doing what feels right for me. And if those two things are happening, then other people's opinions, of course, can matter to me, but they can't dictate it. They can't determine or define what it is that I'm doing. And then the other part of that owning your path is the without the permission, that you can either get support or not from the people around you. And whether you do or do not, again, doesn't get to determine whether I do or not. It has to be rooted in that. And I'm very fortunate in that I have a supportive family, and my husband is just, gosh, you guys, just the most epically supportive, wonderful man. And I have that support. And for the longest time, he never stopped believing in me. My husband has always been my number one person, motivating me, pushing me forward, really encouraging me to go outside of my comfort zone. And when I didn't see that in myself, no matter what he did, it wasn't enough. He was saying a lot of the things back then that he says now because he finds them to be true. But back then, I thought he was just blowing smoke up my ass or saying what I wanted to hear. And now, because I actually believe these things, because I have done so much of this work and I'm continuing to do so much of this work of my own and within myself and within my business, that now I hear them and I believe them. But when you don't believe in yourself, other people's criticisms will feel more like truth than their praise. Their encouragement will feel more like pity than anything else, right? And so as we recognize this power, as we lean into and step into this massively impactful choice that we have, I want you to remember and remind myself here that how we view us is how we are going to think other people view us. Good, bad, indifferent. So here's where we'll go into the shift framework about doing this work. Our S, of course, our sense of self, our self-esteem, our confidence, our self-awareness, our overall self-efficacy is going to be so deeply rooted in digging in deep and leading with that curiosity, trying to understand what's holding me back and where that's coming from. What voice do I hear that tells me that I can't do it? And is it even my own? Or is it rooted in fear? Is it somebody else's words? You take all of that, that you learn, that you inquire about yourself, and you carry that over into a healing of forgiving the previous version of you for having missteps, of thanking the current version of you for getting to this point and doing the work, of forgiving the people around you who tend to project their shit onto you in the same way that you project your shit onto them, and beginning to allow yourself to believe that you can go a different way and thrive. From there is the I, where we try something new and different. We innovate. Here's where I am pretty much not a one-to-one provider anymore. I take on a very, very select few people for these longer one-to-ones, and the vast majority is my pivot into group coaching, because one of my major innovations that I had to take on when I chose this version of myself and this business, I had to innovate the way that I engage with other people. I am so deeply introverted, you guys, it's insane. And when people see that I'm on TikTok and that I do these things like on the socials, they assume that that must mean that I'm extroverted. But we forget that, like, yeah, just because more people see me through a screen doesn't mean that I'm engaging with more people. That feels safer to me than going to like a networking event and like holding down vomit the whole time, right? There's so much more there that allows for my introversion to live in my personal life, in my private life. And then my professional version gets to be out there, that's within a more extroverted platform, but it's still within an introversion, right? Like, I get to choose what I engage in and what I don't. So one of the major innovations for me was to put myself more out there on the socials and in general, and to create more relationships. That's why I joined Lindsay's Mastermind. I joined networking groups on Facebook. I'm engaging more on LinkedIn. I'm really trying to innovate, again, the way that I do this and build a community for myself and a tribe for myself, which of course, again, just reaffirms that I am on the right path for myself, because that's exactly what I'm trying to create for my clients within the programming that's coming out, the parental shift and then the general shift program, which I think we're going to call Shift Talkers because of what we're doing here and doing it in there. So that's what I'm trying to do, is recognize that community is part of it. Having a place to go with people who are doing similar work is so incredibly important. And the environment that we choose to place ourselves within and the people that we choose to surround ourselves with truly can elevate us or diminish us. And that's one of the major, major innovations I have made. Another innovation that goes hand in hand with the healing is my belief in myself. And I'm not going full delusion by any means. What I am doing, though, is leaning into the fact that I know who I am and I know what it is that I'm doing. And that gets to be enough. But that is really enough for me. And what I used to do, which is also what tells me that the work that I'm doing is working, is that when people used to give me the impression or like outright say, like, you can't do this, I used to say or think, you're right, like I shouldn't. And now when I get that impression from people that they don't believe either in me or what it is that I'm doing, they don't value the work that I've chosen to center my entire world around, I shift into this like, fucking try me, I'll show you. Right? Like, you think this is just my little podcast or my little TikTok or my little whatever. And I'm going to make sure that comes up on your feed constantly, that like you cannot avoid it, that you cannot go a single day scrolling on socials without seeing my fucking face pop up. Not because I want my face to be seen, but because what I'm doing is so deeply rooted and aligned in who I am and how I want to spend my life, that I am willing to double down, triple down, quadruple down on how much I show up in order to have as big of an impact as I possibly can, because I truly fundamentally believe that all of us need this work. And because there's no one else that I've been able to find that takes an approach like I do, that does it in the way that I do, and because of the reasons I do, I feel a responsibility and an honor to be able to be that person out there. So now I instead go from, well, I don't know, like, why me? Like, who am I to do this? And instead into like, if not me, who? I've been waiting for people to do this, for people to take this more no bullshit approach and talk about these struggles and parenting and marriage in a way that's actually real, that's not wrapped up in toxic positivity, that isn't shit dipped in glitter. And yet I haven't found it. And so I will be it. And how fucking exciting and what a beautiful honor that is. So that's like so much of the innovation. And if you can hear it in me, because I can hear it in my voice, I feel it in myself, that is my fortitude coming through. That is me leading with this, knowing that I don't fucking need permission. I have the support of people who care about me. And also, even if I didn't, I still believe in this and I still choose this. No permission needed. And I wholly believe in myself to see this through. I wholly envision myself being this leader in the mental health coaching world, because we need people who are willing to admit their faults, because we're willing to admit where our shortcomings are and say that some people don't belong in my program. And that is okay. My scope is not everywhere. But if you're out here and you're looking at coaches, their websites, their landing pages, their funnels, and they're basically saying like, if you're not here, you're missing out. Or if you work with someone else other than me, then like you're not getting the best deal, or you're not getting the best transformation. It's bullshit. And I need still someone to be out here saying, hey, like, I'm not going to be for everyone. I know who belongs in therapy. I know who belongs with me, and feel more confident in that. I feel so rooted in my ability to do this. And I feel so confident in my ability to do this because I'm not persuading anyone. I'm not using gross sales tactics. I'm not shaming people into doing the work. I'm opening up a door and offering for them to come through, or maybe even like peek your head in, you know? That's where my fortitude comes from. And now over time, I feel this genuine transformation that when something doesn't go the way that I would like for it to, or my luteal phase comes through and the imposter syndrome has never been more loud, it's that transformation that I can feel in my chest that hears those things. I definitely still think them, and they don't last as long. They don't hit as hard, and they're not welcome here anymore. So while they still come and knock at the door, I'm like, nah, like, I'm not fucking answering. Go away. Locks all down the inside like Fort Knox, you know? And that's what I want for all of us. I think that it's so truly attainable, but unless we believe in ourselves and we know what our path is, we won't get there. We won't believe that it's attainable. We will think that it's way too fucking hard and we will shy away from it. And it is hard, don't get me wrong. Like, the work is not easy. It is the most worth it thing I have ever done. I am by far a better version of myself than I would have ever been had I not started this work. So I hope that no matter what it is that you are doing, again, the two criteria, that you aren't hurting anyone and it feels true to who you are. So long as you have that criteria, I really hope that you do the shift work to determine how you can own your own path without needing permission. It's nice to have people give it to you, but you need to do it for you, and regardless of what it is that they think. For our Shift RX on Tuesday, I will be going into whether we need a therapist or a coach and how to know which one to go see. And then on Thursday, of course, will be my and Lindsay's conversation dropping. So if you have any questions about this, please let me know. If you are open to it, please rate and review this. It really just helps me have a bigger impact. It costs you nothing. Don't even write a comment. Just put a star. It can be one. It can be five. I hope it is, but it doesn't really matter. Getting you to tell me what you think about this and what you need. And I hope you pass this along to somebody who is feeling stuck and likely scared and just needs a little bit of a gentle push, gentle nudge to lean into it. As always, this is your empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, own that path, and I will see you next time.